Welcome back. You're listening to Garage Radio. My name's Joe, and well, I've had a very bad head cold for the past week here, and so that's what we'll be doing as a theme for the music tonight, Songs for Sickness. I've got a track from the Church of the Crystal Skull on the way, but up first, here is Buck09 with their song, Jennifer's Cold. Keep tuned in here, Garage Radio.
We'll be right back. No, you never talk about it.
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 Psychedelic vibes there, taking you to church. That was the Church of the Crystal Skull with their song Cold Sweat. You're listening to Garage Radio. My name's Joe, and I have a very bad head cold, but we're going to manage through the night here, laying down some songs for the sickness. On the way, I've got a Led Zeppelin track to come. I've also got a Ramones song in store. But up next, here's Young the Giant. It's been a good while since I listened to Young the Giant. I actually got to see them, I think, maybe a summer ago. They opened for Cage the Elephant, and, well, they're just a fun pop band. And this is their big hit, Cough Syrup. Keep it tuned in here, Joe's Garage.
Life's too short to even care.
Just see this.
Yeah, here's my favorite. On the written, you drew a little guy with wings from the Led Zeppelin records.
Icarus. So, what are you trying to tell me here, little man, that you don't like Zepp?
John Bonham Rocks. That was Led Zeppelin there with Sick Again, which that's how I've been feeling here for the past week. My name's Joe, and you've been listening to Garage Radio. I've been doing a theme of songs of illness due to the fact that I have a bad head cold. So, hey, thanks for joining me tonight. I hope you are all well and healthy. Make sure you wash your hands and sanitize. We're rolling out the end of the hour here with some Dinosaur Jr. I certainly have been over this past weekend. I've had a pretty severe head cold and just trying to manage. playing songs in the theme of sickness, which, well, I hope you're well and, you know, stay healthy out there. Make sure you wash your hands. This has been Garage Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Check my math and follow along. 88.3 over 100 is not 0.883. We exponentiate. Euler's number raised to not 0.883 is 2.418. Multiply by 1,000 to result 2,418. Add 401. Result 2,819. Multiply 25. 5 by 9 is 45. 5 by 1 is 5, and 4 is 9. 5 by 8 is 40. 5 by 2 is 10, and 4 is 14. 20 by 9 is 180. 20 by 1 is 20, and 10 is 30. 20 by 8 is 160. 20 by 2 is 40. And 10 is 50. Sum 70,475. Add 404. 70879. Multiply 11. Result 779669. Add 20. 779,689. Divide 10. Result 7796.89, square root 88.3 WRCT.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh. My name is Aubriana Bench, and I'm joined by my oldest brother, Andrew Bench. Today we'll be looking at a smaller borough located a few miles north of Pittsburgh called Westview Borough. Andrew and I both grew up in Westview, and being history nerds, have learned quite a bit about it. But I wanted to bring Andrew today because he has some special experience with the borough. So, Andrew, I already introduced you, but go ahead and tell us what you do right now.
Well, right now I work for the Allegheny County Health Department doing clerical work. But before I was at the county, I worked for Westview Borough for about 6 years. And while I was at Westview, I was an administrative assistant, but I was also their archivist. So one of the things that I did was I was tasked with digitizing Westview's archives. And it's a pretty small borough in terms of size, but over 100 and something years, you generate a lot of paperwork. And legally, the borough and any municipality for that matter has to keep certain documents, and they wanted to have a copy of them digitally in case something ever were to happen. So through that work, I became well acquainted with Westview's history, and I even started giving presentations at my alma mater, or our alma mater, North Hills High School. I give local history presentations from time to time. Very passionate about Pittsburgh history in general.
So let's go to the beginning of Westview. How far back does it go? Do we go to the 1700s or like?
Well, I mean, you can't tell the history of any place in America without first acknowledging the fact that we're all on land that once was used by Native Americans. So prior to any European settlement, there were many Native American tribes that were living in what is now Pittsburgh. As European settlers started to arrive, and as they pushed farther west, this forced a lot of Native American tribes into this area in particular. This was called the Ohio Country in the 1700s, and it was considered the frontier. Pittsburgh was at the westernmost part of the frontier. And so Westview's history goes back to that. There's a guy by the name of Caspar Real who in the 1790s, I believe it was 1795, he was given land for his service in the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War. And that land is the bulk of what Westview is today. So he was given this land, and at first he couldn't use it because there were the threat of Native American attacks. Eventually, after the Battle of Fallen Timbers in Toledo, Ohio today, it pushed the Native Americans out of the Ohio country, and he was able to settle, and he built a log cabin, which is still there in Westview. It is one of the oldest structures in southwestern Pennsylvania. It's actually a residential property to this day. It was turned into a weird house, hybrid cabin thing. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. So that's where Westview's history really starts with Caspar Real. Eventually what happens is in the early 1800s, a group of settlers come together and they petition the courts to create Ross Township. Ross Township is partitioned from Pine Township. Pine Township is Wexford today. Ross Township is created, and for 100 years, Westview is just a vague name of an area within Ross Township. It's not until 1905 that a guy by the name of Frederick Martzoff gets the idea to build a community. He was a land developer. He had built houses across the United States, and he came to the Westview area and was so enamored by it that he bought 700 acres and decided to build a community there. And so really, it's Frederick Martzoff who, he's the father of Westview, if you will.
So were this Caspar Real guy and Martzoff alive at the same time, or what's the timeline here?
No, so Caspar Real, he's born in the 1740s.
So he was old.
So he's a young man fighting in the Revolutionary War, and then he's in his midlife by the time he gets this land that is now Westview. Martzoff is born in the mid-1800s, I want to say 1848. Okay. And he doesn't start building houses in Westview until 1905, and actually, unfortunately, passes away in 1907, so he wasn't around very long to see it. So no, separate time periods altogether.
So was there anything interesting going on between 1795 and the mid-1800s in Westview?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on your definition of interesting. So Westview... The reason that Westview and this whole area, in, for that matter, were settled, part of the reason is obviously Pittsburgh is situated at the merging of the two rivers into the Ohio River, so it's a prime spot for industry. But the reason that the greater northern part of Pittsburgh, the North Hills, even all the way up to Erie, there's a road there that was built by Native Americans. It was a trail called the Venango Trail. And so Westview is situated right on the Venango Trail. It was an existing road that settlers could use. And so that made it very easy for them to leave downtown Pittsburgh and go north. And you could take it all the way up to Erie. There was a fort in Erie, so there were settlements all the way up. In terms of distinct events in the 1800s, I mean, that's when the population of Pittsburgh and the surrounding areas starts to go up, but it's not really until after the Civil War that Pittsburgh starts to industrialize. Mm-hmm. In fact, Westview and Ross were mostly farmland until the late 1800s. It was the country.
So the Venango Trail, is it hard to pinpoint when that first started? Because obviously it's still around today.
I mean, yes. We don't know for various reasons, which would be a whole other episode. We don't know a lot about early Native American history, so we don't know when the road was created. We know that they were using it for centuries prior to European settlers arriving. It was probably formed by ancient buffalo herds that were migrating. A lot of Native American trails, they would use trails that they found. So thousands of years ago, there were buffalo in this area that would migrate, and they probably beat that path into the ground over centuries, and then the Native Americans, why wouldn't they use it? It's less work. They don't have to build it. And same with the European settlers. Once they arrive, there's already this trail here that goes all the way up to Lake Erie. In fact, the Venango Trail allowed, they sent supplies up the Venango Trail all the way to Lake Erie, and it actually was part of the reason that Commodore Perry was able to win the Battle of Lake Erie, because they were able to get the supplies up there during the War of 1812. Well, that's something going on in the 1800s.
Well, so now part of this trail is called Perry Highway after this guy.
So we're still using it.
Yeah.
Today. In fact, the Perry Highway that we have, Route 19, whatever you want to call it, it is more or less the same sort of path that the Venango Trail would have been. There are obviously variations, but if you start to research the history of a lot of roads in the area, a lot of them were once trails. Because when Europeans arrived, that's what they started using as well. And so a lot of the roads today are where the trails used to be, including Perry Highway.
So, circling back to Westview, or going back into that area, let's go back to when the Martzoff guy, you said early 1900s, when was it, when he passed away?
He died in 1907.
Okay. So wasn't it around that time when Westview Park first started or was founded?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a major thing for Westview, right?
Yeah, Westview Park was actually, it opened in 1906. So it basically existed as long as Westview had. Westview is incorporated in 1905, and then the park opens a year later. So as you can imagine, the park became an integral part of Westview. I mean, for 70 plus years, that was the heart of Westview in terms of business and bringing people in to the area.
So because it was such a critical part of Westview, whenever it started, because you and I both know about when Westview Park started its downfall, but do you want to enlighten listeners on what happened with Westview Park? And
do you just want me to give you an overview?
Yeah,
of Westview
just give an overview, because there were a lot of parks in the area where this kind of started happening, except for, as a lot of people know, Kennywood, which is still open. But
well, first, I will say I'm not the foremost expert on amusement parks. There is a guy, a Pittsburgh local named Mike Funyak, who wrote a very good book on Westview Park. So anybody who wants a deeper understanding of the park, I would check out his book called It's Westview Park, the T.M. Harton Story. But at the turn of the century, the early 1900s, these parks were really popular. There were dozens of them all over. There were many in the Pittsburgh area. They're some of the more notable ones are Westview Park, there's Luna Park, Kennywood, and it's because that's, at the time, that's what people were doing for fun. These parks were, I would argue that they thrived for two reasons. One, you may have heard Kennywood referred to as a picnic park before. It's because it was built on what was a picnic ground. And then the park, they would encourage people to bring your families, bring a picnic, and then go ride things at the park. Westview Park is the same. It started as a picnic park. The land was purchased, and then became a picnic park where they would encourage families to come, bring food, and then ride things. You also have to remember that early amusement parks, you're not buying a ticket and then you can ride anything. You're paying per ride. So individual companies would have rides at these parks and they would collect some of the revenue from people. So they're obviously, these people want to build cool rides so people come ride their ride. That's the whole thing behind Westview Park. So it's a picnic park. The other important thing is that it's situated at the end of a trolley line. Back in the day, we had a much more robust public transportation system, and you could actually take a trolley from anywhere in the greater Pittsburgh area to Westview Park. It ended right at Westview Park, the trolley line. So anybody could get there, and that was a huge, huge advantage for the park. People could easily get there. When the park's created in 1906, a guy named T.M. Harton, he's the one that creates it. He's already a successful businessman. He manufactures and operates amusement park rides. So he already has a company, and he does so well that he says, shoot, why don't I just make a park and I'll put my own rides in the park? And so that's what he did. He's a Pittsburgh native as well. He picks Westview as the spot for this park. And Westview Park is there from 1906 to 1977. Within 10, 20 years of Westview Park being created, it's the only park in the area besides Kennywood. So for most of the 1900s, the only two amusement parks in this area in Pittsburgh are Kennywood and Westview Park. And they didn't really compete with each other because they're far enough away from each other that their crowds aren't necessarily picking one over the other. So they existed, you know, just fine with each other.
Is there any reason why Westview kind of started seeing a downfall? Was it 50s or
60s?
60s.
So again, if you talk to some of the older residents in Pittsburgh, they'll often, you might hear, oh, well, Westview Park couldn't compete with Kennywood. Not true. They weren't really seeking to steal each other's customers. Westview Park is about 18 acres, but that's it. If you go to the Westview Shopping Center, that's where Westview Park was. It's pretty small. There's not a lot of space to expand, so by the 1940s, they've taken all the available land they possibly can use. Their golden era was after World War II. The baby boomer generation is their children at that point, so they are obviously going to the park. So in the 40s and 50s, Westview Park does really well. Starting in the 60s, attendance starts to falter, and honestly, even until they closed, their attendance wasn't bad. It just didn't continue to go up. Part of what happened, they couldn't expand anymore. That meant they couldn't put new rides in to attract potential new visitors. The other thing that happens is in 1973, there's a fire. Westview Park has a dance hall called Danceland, and Danceland was a huge spot where young Pittsburghers would go. A lot of people, older people in Pittsburgh, actually met their spouse at Danceland. It was a big deal. You'd go and listen to live music and dance. Well, that burns down in 1973, and they don't rebuild it. And that was one of the nails in their coffin. They just, as attendance faltered, they weren't able to keep up with the newest innovations, and so the park slowly declined. But even in its final year, 1977, attendance was not bad, but it wasn't great.
Kind of like a
slow decline. It was just a gradual decline. I'd say from about the mid-60s to 77 when
so
it closed.
So if it had closed any later, it probably would have been slower and lower attendance, you
yeah.
think?
Yeah. And I think it probably would have become more run down.
Yeah. And so do you think the closing of Westy Park or, like, the slow-ish decline, I don't know if it would be a decline because they close it, right, whenever attendance was barely going down.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think it kind of, I mean, messed up Westview or kind of put Westview into a hard spot towards the end of the 20th century?
Well, yes, short answer. There's a couple, I'm an avid Pittsburgh historian. So Pittsburgh becomes a steel manufacturing hub. And up until the 1960s, oh, that's another thing I didn't mention. The population of Pittsburgh in the 50s and 60s is double what it is today. Well, when the late 60s, early 70s come around, a lot of steel jobs are leaving Pittsburgh. And so there is a gradual decline of Pittsburgh's and the surrounding area's population. So Pittsburgh peaked at over 600,000 people. It wasn't until the 2020 census that we actually stopped losing population. We've steadied out at about 330,000, I believe. So we have half of our peak. So you have less people living in the area. Westview is a picnic park, and so people would have school picnics, company picnics, union picnics at the park. Well, less jobs, less steel companies, steel plants, less picnics, less population. And by the time Westview Park closes, the steel industry is almost entirely gone. By the early 80s, Pittsburgh is at one of its lowest points in terms of jobs. And Westview not only has less of a population, but they now lose one of the biggest draws to the borough. The park had existed as long as Westview had existed. And so for that park to suddenly close, the borough kind of has an identity crisis. You know, it's like you're born with your right hand and then all of a sudden your right hand's gone the next day. That would be pretty bad. I mean, that's kind of how I think of it. They existed together for so long. And so Westview does experience a little bit of a decline in terms of population. And even today, I would argue Westview, I'm biased because I worked there and lived there, but they do a really good job at maintaining their public services, paving the roads, keeping the parks and the borough looking really nice. I'd say they're exceptional because I've been in a lot of municipalities in Pittsburgh. But the one thing that they've struggled with is getting good local businesses back in the borough. And that's a problem that a lot of municipalities face. How do you attract people to do business in your municipality? And there have been a few new businesses that have opened up in Westview in the past 10 or so years. There's a great Italian restaurant near our house, Severina.
Coffee shop.
There's a new coffee shop that just opened. So there are things happening in Westview. But there was a decline. And I don't think it was Westview's fault. I think it was just the trends of what was happening in the greater Pittsburgh area, coupled with the fact that Westview Park closed. Yeah, I mean, that's going to cause a decline.
What would you like to see in the future of Westview? Do you think there's anything that could fix? I mean, well, maybe it doesn't need to be fixed, but what do you think? Up the population, bring back Westview Park.
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't know that Westview needs to be fixed. I think it's a very nice place to live.
A good place to live.
Their motto is a good place to live. It is. It truly is. I enjoyed growing up there. I enjoyed working there. I think the thing that would help Westview the most is making it an attractive place for people to come to, whether it's restaurants or various businesses that are there, make people want to come to Westview, and also continue maintaining the public services so that new people want to move in. That's the only way you're going to get more people coming in, is keeping it attractive. And I think that they are doing a really good job at that. Westview is certainly a place that I wouldn't mind going back to live in one day. It is pretty small. It's only about a square mile, so that, you know, there's a limited number of houses. But I think those are the two biggest things, is attracting more businesses and continuing to maintain the level of services so that people want to live there. I think, yeah.
Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you think would be worth touching on?
Oh, geez. I don't know, like what?
Oh, man. What's one of your favorite things in terms of Westview or Pittsburgh history to talk about?
I talked about it earlier. I find it very interesting how it was settled, why it was settled, the Venango Trail, mm-hmm. people moving north. The early history of Pittsburgh around the French and Indian War, Revolutionary War period, is really cool. The Fort Pitt Museum has a really cool exhibition going on where it focuses on the early history of Pittsburgh, in particular conflicts with Native Americans. I find that very interesting. In terms of Pittsburgh in general, I think it's very fascinating how Pittsburgh has gone from a filthy, disgusting, horrible place to live in terms of environmental health, and through the efforts of various figures over the decades, we have turned that around and become more than just a steel city. In fact, Pittsburgh today would be unrecognizable to somebody living during the Gilded Age. There's healthcare here, tech, higher education, like Carnegie Mellon. So the fact that Pittsburgh was able to pivot itself and turn it into something new, you don't always see that with cities. There are still cities that are struggling to get their footing after losing a major industry. You know, take Detroit, for example, or, you know, Cleveland. Pittsburgh is unique in that way. It's unique in a lot of ways, but I think the fact that we've continued to be a cool place to live, it's pretty neat. And I think we're unique in that regard. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What key figures?
The Pittsburgh Renaissance. David L. Lawrence, who was the mayor. Yeah. And then I believe it was Richard Mellon III. I'm going to have to fact check myself, but those two figures are responsible for reshaping Pittsburgh, cleaning up the city. The convention center is named after him for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the school is named after the Mellon family. So those two figures. I should also mention that I used to work at the Frick. And so I know a lot of my other interest is Pittsburgh during the Gilded Age. But that's a whole other topic.
I'm doing that topic in my environmental history class right now.
It's very interesting.
I have learned that it might not... There is some... You can put Pittsburgh cleaning up on legislation, but it was actually mostly the cause of natural gas coming into the city. And more Pittsburghers using natural gas to power their homes.
That makes sense.
Instead of coal. Yeah. But anyways, it is short, but is there anything else you want to add before we finish out?
Check out Westview Borough's website, specifically the history section, because yours truly wrote it, and I'm very proud of it, because, you know, 6 years ago when I first started there, there was not a whole lot, and now you could actually go research it. And one of the highest compliments that I ever received from working at Westview was I got letters from elementary school kids, and they said that they loved the website and they were doing a project on Westview Park, and could I please send them pictures and information? And that was awesome, because that's what it's there for.
Yes.
Not for the glory. My information should be accessible.
Yes.
So yeah, check out Westview's website. There's a lot of really cool photos and things from the archives on their website still.
There are some really cool pictures of Westview Park during its peak.
It would have been fun.
After, yeah.
I wish I could have experienced it. I'm sorry, not much of a Kennywood guy.
This is Aubriana Bench. I'm interviewing Andrew Bench.
WRCT.
Thank you for coming in, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
I'll see you at home later tonight. All right.
Fine.
Bye.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.
We see the destructiveness of AI all around us every day. Fake news, job loss, alienation, depression. Well, they tell us how AI is going to cure cancer and solve the climate crisis and improve our lives every day. I'm not seeing that. What I am saying is so much AI slop in the internet, I can't tell what's real anymore. AI is the most dangerous technology in the history of mankind.
That's Kuhan Pakmander, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamian. This edition of AR features Kuhan Pakmander on the nuclear legacy of artificial intelligence. AI, artificial intelligence, is an inflection point for humankind. Most people are uneasy about AI. In one poll, 71% of respondents said they thought AI posed a threat to humanity. Right-wing pundit Matt Walsh says, "We're sleepwalking into a dystopia that any rational person can see from miles away." And then he adds, "Are we really just going to lie down and let AI take everything away from us?" Bernie Sanders warns, "There's a very real fear that in a not-too-distant future, a superintelligent AI could replace human beings in controlling the planet." But for the tech bros and their corporations, AI is a goldmine. Who will speak for those who worry about the dangers AI poses and want to see it carefully regulated? Our guest today is Kuhan.